Welcome to Torah Dimecha, Nach Yomi with the OU's Women's Initiative. I'm Rebecca Belazon, and today we are learning Shoftim Perek Yichet. The Perek begins by Yamim Haheim Ein Melech B'Yisrael. In those days, there was no king in Israel. The Navi once again reiterates this point to explain to us just how B'nai Yisrael got into such a bad situation. It was because they had no king, they had no leader, they had no central vision. If they would have had a king, they would have had a leader, it could not be that a whole Shevet would come and worship Avodah Zarah. We saw already in last parak that we had an individual, we had Micha, who set up a base of Avodah Zarah, and now, by the end of this parak, we will have an entire Shevet, an entire tribe that will come to worship Avodah Zarah. And according to the Mitzuzah, this first statement actually segues into the second half of the Pasuk, which discusses Dan going to battle on their own. Had there been a king, the nation would have battled together. It would not be that one tribe would go out and fight on their own. And Pasuk Aleph concludes that in those days, the tribe of Dan saw for themselves an inheritance in which to dwell, for until that day, there had not fallen to them among the tribes of Israel an inheritance. According to the Malbim, the Canaanites did not let them dwell comfortably in the portion that they had received, and therefore they were looking for other places. But according to the Mitzuzah, the portion they received was simply not enough for their needs, and they needed more space. So the children of Dan sent from their families, they sent 5 men to spy the land, to search it out, and they said, "Go and search the land." And they came to Har Ephraim, to Micha's house, and they lodged there. So once again, we see Micha's house as a place that is open and inviting for all of those travelers. And when they were in the house of Micha, they recognized the voice of the Nar, they recognized the voice of the Levi. And they turned aside there and they said to him, "Who brought you here? And what are you doing in this place? What is there here for you?" Meaning, what profit do you have here? And on a simple level, they recognized the voice of this Levite, because he was from the family of Kahath, whose Levite cities were in their portion. They were in the Shevet of Dan. But Rashi explains that the people were actually taken aback. They said to him, "Aren't you the grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu?" It seems that as the grandson of their leader, he was somebody who was known to them. And so he said to them, "Such and such has Micha done for me, and he has hired me, and I have become his priest." So whether or not they are surprised with who he is or with what he is doing, they seem to be okay with it, because they ask him, "Please ask now of God that we should know if we're going to be successful on our path." And the priest said to them, "Go in peace, and the Lord will help you succeed in your way." And the 5 men, they go and they arrive in Laish. Now, according to Rashi in Sefer Yehoshua, this place was actually called Leshem. And it was called Leshem because they found a gem there called Leshem, which was used on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, which represented Shevet Dan. Dan's name was actually written on the stone. Therefore, they knew that this was their place, that this was their portion. And when they came to Laish, they saw that the people there were dwelling in security. Life was secure. It was tranquil. And thus, they figured that the people would not be on alert for war. Pasuk says, like the manner of the Tzidonim, according to the Radak, these were a group of people who lived near the border of Israel and were not Canaanites. Therefore, they had quiet because they did not want to battle with Bnei Israel. Not only that, but they see that there are few heirs, meaning there's no one to fight back, no one to hold on to the rule. And not only that, but you don't need to worry that other people are going to come and to defend them, because they are from Tidon. And they are far from Tidon. And they don't have a bris, they don't have a treaty or an alliance with anybody that is close. And the Abravanel notes here that the Tzidonim were a nation of merchants, and they acted positively without a king, as other nations do, he writes, like in Italy. They conduct themselves properly without a king. And I think it's a very interesting contrast to Bnei Yisrael that we see throughout Sefer Shoftim, where we are constantly reminded that because that there is no king, each person does whatever they see fit, whatever he finds okay in his eyes. We have on one hand this nation, this foreign nation, that lives peacefully and properly without a leader, without a king, and yet we have Bnei Yisrael without this proper leadership, without this king, things go completely crazy, and everyone does whatever he deems appropriate. And these people, they come back to their brothers, Pasuk Chet, to Tzara and Eshtaol, and their brother said to them, "What do you have to respond to us? What news do you have?" Meaning, what happened in your mission? What did you find out? And they said to them, "Let's get up, let's go, because we saw that the land is very good, and you shouldn't be lazy. Come and enter and possess the land." And when you arrive, you will come to a secure people, Pasigud, and the land is sufficiently large, for God has given it into your hands, a place where there is nothing lacking of anything which is in the land. And so Pasigud Aleph, 600 men with weapons, they travel from Dan there. And they went up and they camped near Kiryas Se'arim in Yehuda, and therefore they called that place Machane Dan, the camp of Dan, until this day. And they passed from there to Har Ephraim, and they come once again to Micha's house. And the five men that went to spy out the area of Laish, they spoke up and they said to the brothers, "Do you know that here they have a pestle and a masecha and trufim and an ephod? And now you know what we need to do," meaning prepare yourselves to go and take it from them. Now the Das Sofrim comments that these people from Bnei Dan, they knew that by going to Laish, which was all the way at the northern end, they would not be able to easily travel to Shiloh. It would be a long and arduous journey. The Mishkan would not be easily accessible, and therefore they decided to establish a mikdash, a sanctuary, in their place. And they turn there and they come to the house of the young man, the Levite, in Micha's house, and he greeted them and greeted him. And the 600 men of the children of Dan, girded with their weapons, they stood by the entrance to the gate. And the five men that went to spy the land, they came in and they took the graven image, the ephod, the trephim, and the molten image, and the priest stood by the entrance of the gate with the 600 men that were standing there with their weapons. Now, according to the Malbim, the five men came and they said hello to the Kohen, and he told them that Dan was there waiting by the gate and that they had asked about him. And since he knew them, he went to greet them. And so therefore the Kohen goes to the gate of the city, while the five men then go back to Micha's house to take these items. The Kohen suspected something. He felt maybe something was off, and he goes back and he says to them, "What are you doing?" And they said to him, "Hachareish, you should be quiet. Put your hands over your mouth and go with us." They said, "What is better, to be the Kohen, to be the priest, to be the instructor over a small place like this, over one house, one family, or you can be the priest of a tribe, of an entire family in Israel?" And so the priest was pleased. He thought this was a good idea. And so he takes the ephod, the trephim, and the pestle, and he goes with these people. And they turned and they departed, and they put the little ones, the children, the cattle, and the goods before them. Now it seems strange. Why do they have all this stuff? Why are they bringing their children to battle? But according to the Radak, they were so certain that they would succeed in capturing the city. Therefore, they took everything with them. They went with their wives, they went with their children, they went with their cattle. And when they were already a distance from the house of Micha, Micha's group catches up to them, and they overtook the children of Dan. And they called to the children of Dan, and the people of Dan turn around and they say, "What is with you that you are gathered?" Meaning, what's going on? Why are you following us? And he said to them, Pasuk Chavzal, "My God, which I made, you took away, in addition to the priest, and you have gone away. What else have I? How then can you say to me, 'What is with you?'" And the children of Dan said to him, "Be quiet. Let your voice not be heard." And they threaten him, "Lest men of embittered souls assail you." Meaning, we have some men here who have a temper, so you should go on your merry way. Because if you get involved with us, you lose your life and the lives of your household. And the children of Dan went on their way, and Micha saw that they were stronger than he was. So therefore, he turned back and he went to his house. Pasuk of Zion, and they took that which Micha had made, the priest whom he had, and they came to Laish, to a people tranquil and secure, and they struck them by the edge of the sword, and the city they burnt with fire. The Radak says that even though Bnei Dan wanted to settle there, they burnt the city in order to create confusion to help in its conquest. Furthermore, the Radak suggests that they did this to destroy the Avodah Zarah that was there. Even though they themselves brought Pesel Micha with them, they themselves brought this idolatrous form, their intention was L'shem Shamayim. Their intention was for God. Perhaps they felt like this was going to help them connect to God, help them serve God. And according to the Ralbag, they did this to instill fear in the other cities that they needed to conquer. And this would make it easier for them to do this, because if the people were afraid, they would be easier to conquer. Pasuk Afret, and there was no one to save them because it was far from Sidon, and they had no bond with any man, meaning this nation had no treaty, no alliance, and it was in the valley that lies by Beis Rehob, and they built the city and they dwelled in it. And they called the name of the city Dan after the name of Dan, their father, who was born to Israel. But actually, Laish was the name of the city at first. Pasuk Lamed, and the children of Dan set up for themselves the Pesel, and Yehonasan ben Gershon ben Menashe, both he and his sons were priests for the tribe of Dan until the day of the exile of the land. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, the final pasuk, concludes, and they accepted for themselves Pesel Micha, which he had made throughout the period that the house of God was in Shiloh. And I think it's very interesting to note that finally, at the end of these two prakim, the Navi gives us the identity of this Levite at the end of the second parak of the story. Also, if you look closely at Pasuk Lamed, when the Pasuk tells us the name of this priest, Yehonasan ben Gershon ben Menashe, the Nun is raised. It kind of looks like it's hanging. And Rashi tells us that this is meant to say Moshe, as this was really Moshe's grandson. But out of respect to Moshe, the Nun is added. And it is only at the end of the story that the identity of this individual is revealed. The Medrash adds that since this Kohen acted in the way of Menashe in terms of his involvement with idolatry, he's called the son of Menashe because he acted like Menashe. And I think that the fact that this Kohen is Moshe's grandson again reminds us of a theme that we have seen throughout the story. And that is the power of the environment, the hashpa of the Sviva. The Medrash in Shmos tells us that at the time that Moshe asked Yisro to marry his daughter Tzipporah, Yisro said, okay, but Moshe, I have one condition for you. The first child that you have, he will be for Avodah Zarah, perhaps meaning he can look out for his own path, he can experiment with other religions, and the rest of the children, they will be for God, and Moshe accepted. And it's hard to understand how Moshe Rabbeinu could accept such a request that his first child will be for Avodah Zarah. And Rav Dessler, in his Sefer Mechtav Me'Eliyahu, he suggests that even though at this point Yisro was no longer worshiping Avodah Zarah, he was still not serving Hashem. And Moshe spending time in Yisro's house and in this environment had an impact on him, so much so that he agreed to Yisro's stipulation. And we see that the environment can affect even someone as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. And we see that throughout this story. We see how it affected Micha. Originally, he didn't want that Avodah Zarah to be part of the Avodah Zarah. He didn't want to be involved in making it. He let it, the Avodah Zarah, in his house, and ultimately he is the one to not only serve the Avodah Zarah, but his children become the priests, and he ultimately has this whole house which revolves around the Avodah Zarah. And again, the Levite, he comes, and originally he doesn't want to be the priest for the Avodah Zarah. And yet, through staying in Micha's house, through staying in this environment, he ultimately acquiesces, and not only that, he becomes the priest for the whole Shevet Dan. And on a larger scale, it really affects Bnei Yisrael as a whole, as we see throughout the story. They're living in Eretz Yisrael side by side by these Canaanite nations that they were meant to drive out, and they were affected and corrupted by these people, as we see what they have done in this parak, and we are about to see it will get worse in the next parak. Thank you for studying together. Li'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.